Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. Before the gospel is read in the Ukrainian Greek Orthodox churches, a liturgy is spoken, similar to the way that we say a call to worship. So if you would rise while we read from the gospel, and please join me. Wisdom, arise, let us hear the holy gospel. Peace be with all.
And with your spirit.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Let us be attentive.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Peace be with you.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's Advent, so we're really pulling out pulling the rug out from under everybody. Well, for those of you who are Chiefs fans, and I know we have many, this season has been a bit of a roller coaster, I hear. I've had several folks apologize for their behavior and language after the fact. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. I don't follow football, so I want to thank the consultant for today's sermon, Ken Tung. Y'all had a loss on Thanksgiving Day, but I'm thinking back to last Sunday afternoon, the game that was between the Chiefs and the Colts. That afternoon, I was attending a gospel concert up in St. Joe with my family, but I was sitting right next to my 9-year-old nephew, JP. He listened attentively during the choir, but during the applause, he bumped my leg and he showed me his phone. He was checking the score. He thought I would like to know. I'm not sure if it was the game or the choir that he was watching the most religiously. It was during the fourth quarter. The Colts had a big lead. Darn it, you know, it doesn't look good for the Chiefs. The choir sang another piece. During applause, JP bumped my leg harder this time. Mike, that's what he calls me. The game had turned around. The Chiefs had scored a touchdown. I expected more updates. The next round of applause brought another update. It was 2020. I think they were going into overtime. And toward the end of the concert, JP's applause was very strong. I was informed the Chiefs had won. Talk about exciting. When they were behind, they kept in the game. They found a place. They found a weakness. They were disciplined. They stayed focused and vigilant. They staged a comeback unexpectedly. Now, none of us are our football stars, but I can still think of the time when all of us have had to be ready. When I was doing chaplaincy overnight, or I worked in the hospice, I needed to be ready for whatever may come up my way. Overnight in the hospital, I always slept with one ear open and a vibrating phone on my chest because I didn't want to miss whatever might be happening. Well, football player or farmer or chaplain, whatever your profession, all of us find ourselves in times of life that we need to expect the unexpected. Well, Jesus talked a lot about this thing in the Gospels. And this morning we read from the 24th chapter of Matthew. Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem only a few days before his crucifixion. He was teaching the disciples about the destruction of the temple, about the need to be watchful and ready. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus, or the disciples asked Jesus specifically when these things were going to happen and the signs that they should look for. Well, finally, he gets around to answering their question. It just wasn't the answer that they were hoping for. Jesus said, about that day, nobody knows but God. And he told a story that all of us know so well, and the disciples would have as well, about Noah and the flood. He said, it'll be the same with the coming of the Son of Man. Now, Son of Man is one of Matthew's favorite phrases or names for Jesus. It comes from the Old Testament. It's listed over 100 times in the Bible, mostly in the book of Ezekiel. Son of Man might be translated Son of Adam or Son of Man. It basically is portraying the human side of Jesus, that God has made flesh. Jesus said before the flood, everybody was eating and drinking and falling in love right up until the day that Noah got into the ark. They knew nothing. But as for the day of his return, Jesus doesn't say the when, but the how. People will be living their lives, he said. And he gave an example. Two will be working in the field and one would be left. Two would be grinding grain, one taken, the other left. They would just be doing their ordinary, usual, everyday thing. So keep awake, Jesus said, therefore, because you don't know the day or the hour. But it will be like a thief in the night. Which was an image that was used several times in the New Testament. Early Christians took this to heart. They remembered it. And it was something that would be mentioned, I believe, in Thessalonians later on. So for decades, they talked about this image, about Jesus coming like a thief in the night. And this is sort of unsettling. The lesson here seems to be about being ready, about expecting the unexpected. The Son of Man will come, Jesus says, at an unexpected hour. Now, many Christians read these verses and they think of a rapture kind of scenario. The theology of the rapture, I'm sure you've heard of it. It's even in a few of our hymns that we sing. This is the idea that the faithful Christians will be raptured or taken into heaven to escape a period of tribulation before the second coming of Christ. The theology was made popular in recent years in the series called Left Behind. The problem is that many scholars believe that this is a misunderstanding of Scripture. The rapture was first taught in the early 19th century, the 1800s. That's when it first began to be written about. The early church did not talk about the rapture, and it doesn't fit the context. You see, Jesus was talking about the fall of the temple in Jerusalem, which actually did happen, as he predicted. It would have been about 15 or 20 years before Matthew was written. So all of this was in the context of Jesus' prophecy that the temple would fall, and sure enough, it did. And they were living in that after effect of it. The temple was destroyed by the Roman armies about 70 AD to suppress a Jewish rebellion. And it was a prophecy that seemed to a lot of folks to be the end of the world. I mean, the church without the temple. How could that be? And yet they were living in it. And another reason why I'm skeptical of the rapture theology is that it would not have made sense to ancient Romans. If you were a first century Christian in ancient Rome, you would not have wanted to be taken from home. Also for the people of Noah's day, if to use that example, you would not have wanted to be swept away. Surely God would not have wanted to create a world and was pleased with it, only to trash it and leave the so-called doomed behind. So I don't think Jesus was talking about a faithful being whisked away. And by the time of Matthew, Christians may have been thinking that the fall of the temple was somehow a clue that the world was ending. But there had been no signs of Jesus yet after all of these years. And so they were probably wondering, okay, the temple's been destroyed. Jesus has not come back as we thought that he would. Where do we go from here? And the answer from Jesus seems to be, keep the daily grind. Get it? They were grinding grain. Anyway, keep living your life. Don't quit your day job. Don't buckle up and prepare to blast off. The fall of the temple had happened. Some may have killed or have fled. Some may have felt like the very person next to them had disappeared. That happened. Jesus is saying, no, the faithful seem to be on the earth right now. And in the midst of it all, they were trying to be the church with no temple. They were still looking for Christ to appear in the midst of it all. Weird things were happening. Some were taken, some were left. People were disappearing. All these weird phenomena in life, they were trying to keep up. And Jesus's answer was this: as you work, as you live your life, as things happen, expect the unexpected, for the return of Christ will come at an unexpected hour. Jesus appears when you least expect it. That's what he's saying. You see, so this scripture isn't so much about living in the future as it is about living in the present. Like the chiefs, eyed an opening and found a way to win despite the odds. Like Christians who found themselves in tough and puzzling situations, I think the message here was to keep watch. Expect the unexpected. Look for Christ's return. Live with one ear open and an opportunity to serve. Because after this passage, we get to hear Jesus talk about how to wait. We've talked about a few of these passages this November. Things like using our talents well, being prepared with lots of oil, and feeding the hungry, and giving drink to the thirsty, and welcoming the stranger, and clothing the naked, and caring for the immigrant. All things that Jesus taught us to do, that's an active waiting. And Christians call the time between Jesus' resurrection and the second coming the already not yet. Have you heard that before? The already not yet. Jesus has come, but yet we also trust that Jesus will come again. And the church lives in this perpetual in-between time. It's an in-between, and this is what Advent is all about. Advent is a season of 4 weeks before Christmas in which we practice on waiting Jesus to come. The word Advent comes from a Latin word that means to come or arrive, and it's a time of preparation, a time of anticipation and expectation for Christ to come, not only at Christmas, but in final victory. It's also a time, yes, in which we look ahead to the ultimate return of Jesus. And so the scriptures that we'll read during Advent, it's sort of a juxtaposition. We're talking about ushering in Christmas, and yet we're also practicing waiting on the second return of Christ. It's a sort of a juxtaposition there. And by repeating this practice of waiting on Christmas every year, we learn to wait with hope that Jesus will come again as he promised. We practice living in an in-between. And I think a lot of us can, in our own individual lives, can find a place where we are in a sort of in-between, where we're waiting, where things aren't yet realized, where things aren't clear. To use the words of Paul, where we see in a glass mirror only dimly. We all live in these fuzzy times, in the in-between, and I think Jesus's message for us today is to keep watch, to keep looking for opportunities where we see Christ appear in our midst. You see, Methodists believe not just in personal holiness, but in social holiness, in that our personal faith pours forth into our community and brings transformation. The church capital C, the church universal in the world, exists in this in-between, between the ascension of Jesus and his final return, because we get to be co-agents in God's work in the world. We work with God to usher in the kingdom of God. And so it's not as if we're just merely waiting, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for it to happen. Jesus says, wait with activity. Wait with generosity and with care for others. And well, that's how you wait. And well, I think the challenge for us is to keep looking for the right opportunity in a world that's uncertain, in an in-between times. Natural disasters today literally sweep away people, where one person is left and the other is not. These things happen. We hear a lot in the news today about people being taken. These things happen. And yet, in the midst of it all, this is where Christ appears. Advent is about an active waiting, working with God to bring about his kingdom on earth. And Jesus is saying that we can expect him in all the unexpected ways in our lives, in good times and in uncertain times, in weird times, in busy times. Christ breaks through in our lives, whether that be his second coming or this Christmas or in the middle of a workday. You see how it's layered. Christ comes to us in so many ways unexpectedly. Jesus, Christmas seems to swallow up the season of Advent because we don't like to wait. In fact, in our world today, we don't have to wait much on anything. And when we do, it's excruciating. When we wait, I find myself scrolling through my phone or checking the news. Some of us chat with friends, you know. We're often looking at a screen these days as we wait. But I'm going to challenge you the next time you have to wait, like I did with the kids, in a waiting room or before a Zoom call before something more serious, to look for the Jesus' appearance in the midst of that situation. Look for Christ to come to you or to be speaking to you in a way that is unexpected, whatever that may be. And so Advent isn't so much about the end times as it is about these times. This season, let's learn to wait a little bit more. Let's learn as we wait to be more in tune with the presence of God. Let's watch. Let's be ready. Let's expect that Christ is working in our lives because he is in ways that are visible and in ways that are behind the scenes and in Christ's time that will only be revealed. So let's watch and be ready. Jesus is coming not to take us away, but to be with us. That's Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is coming to be with us in whatever situation we may experience, in whatever unexpected hour we might need him. So I say, come, Lord Jesus, surprise us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you surprise us with your presence. Lord, I pray for each one of us, wherever we are uncertain, wherever we are not quite sure of where you would have us go, Lord, come into our lives, we pray. Break through into our world with wholeness and peace in your love, that your kingdom may truly come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.